This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Patrick K. O'Donnell, the best-selling author. And we're discussing an aspect of his most recent book, The Unvanquished, The Untold Story of Lincoln's Special Forces, The Manhunt for Mosby's Rangers, Shadow War, Forging America's Special Operations. But we're concentrating on 160 years ago right now, April of 1865. John Singleton Mosby has a very effective guerrilla force and has preyed upon elements of the Union for 2 years. He's famous. He's being tracked all the time by the Union forces. One man is effective, but they capture him, and he's now in prison in Richmond. His name is Blazer. Lewis Powell is one of Mosby's Rangers. Lewis Powell is the man who attempted to murder the Secretary of State, Mr. Seward, with a knife. Lewis Powell is someone who has met John Wilkes Booth, we can presume, at the Surratt House. Back to the Ford Theater. Lincoln is dead. Booth leaps from the box and breaks his leg, limps out of the theater. There are horses waiting for him. He escapes the district. He gets out of the district. And now Patrick fills in some of the events. There are pieces still to be found, but there are a great number of events that established the fact that there was foreknowledge of some aspect of Booth's activities. First, we have to set his leg. What is important about the Surratts and the stop at the Surratts, Patrick?
Well, there's two Surratt locations. The first one is a boarding house, which is now in Chinatown. It's now a Chinese restaurant. And then there's another boarding house, which is in Southern Maryland, near Waldorf. And this is where they head. At the boarding house, they pick up a Spencer carbine, some field glasses, and other items and equipment. And then they move on to
David Harrell, a companion of Booth. He's his wingman, David Harrell. Please continue.
David Harrell is with him, and they move through the Confederate Secret Service's rat line, which is it's maintained by the Confederate Secret Service's Signal Corps, which moves agents and messages through Southern Maryland up north and further and back down to the south. And they move from one safe house to another until they're moved. The main operative in the area moves them into a thicket, which is that they use to hide agents throughout the entire war. And the entire area is being scoured by federal thousands of federal troops, but they are able to avoid capture.
Samuel Mudd, the physician, sets the leg. Was he part of the plot?
Samuel Mudd was definitely with part of the Confederate Secret Service rat line.
Right.
And to what extent knowledge he knew, we don't know, but he was definitely a member of the rat line. It provided safe haven to other agents and everything else.
Mosby's men were in the area on the 16th, 2 days after the assassination. They were in the area.
Yeah,
for why? What is the explanation?
It's unexplained. What's fascinating is Mosby's men are in the Northern Neck. Half of his command is down there. There are hundreds of men on horseback. But what we find fascinating is that it's in the actual records. an element of his command under Garland Smith crosses the Potomac and moves to Southern Maryland. And they're there a day or so around the time that Booth is in the area as well. So we're not sure why he's there. They could be there to help with the man that was the torpedo from the torpedo works to potentially blow up the White House. They may not have known that operation failed, or they might have been there to help Booth. We don't know. But the record is established that occurred, and they actually got into a firefight with federal troops.
Importantly, there are larger events. Remember, Lee is surrendered to Grant, which is presumed to be the end of the war. It's not. There's still Confederate servicemen in the field in the South and in crossing into Texas. However,
there's over 200,000 men under arms after Lee surrenders that are in the Confederacy.
However, the Union is offering to surrender now, and you will no longer be held responsible for the deprivations of others who are raiding and stealing and plundering on their way home. So there's a date certain past which, Grant says, June 1st eventually, you will be considered a robber or a desperado and not a soldier of the Confederacy. Mosby's offered a chance to surrender. He refuses. On the 21st and the 22nd is what you have, Patrick. What is the significance of that offering while Booth is still at large?
What's fascinating is Mosby disbands his command, and with 50 men roughly, he moves down towards the Northern Neck. And this is where there's a bit of a mystery. He's only about 10 miles from where Booth is eventually captured. We don't know why. And I would mention that it would be Mosby's men that find Booth and then also provide him with another safe house.
All right, let's go to the Rappahannock, Booth and Harold. Booth is vaguely disguised. Not really. He talks about himself as Payne. Sometimes he wears a beard. Who knows? He's a character. But they're sitting at the Rappahannock landing waiting to cross the river. And along come three Mosby's men. Is this a coincidence, Patrick?
They just happen to be there, John, and they happen to move Mosby to the crossing point, which is also operated by a member of the Confederate Secret Service.
Booth, you mean?
In his ferry,
they move Booth to the crossing point.
They move Booth to the crossing point, which is operated by a member of the Confederate Secret Service and Signal Corps.
There are members of Mosby's Rangers. I want to read their names: Lieutenant Mortimer Ruggles, Private Absalom Bainbridge, and Private William Jett. They were questioned afterwards as to their participation. Did they claim it was an accident? They just came across Booth?
They claimed it was an accident, and they initially didn't know who he was.
And they moved him to the landing, though they're new to the area. They didn't know beforehand. They just happened to be there. They hadn't operated here for the war.
What's fascinating is that the one coincidence after another just sort of starts to pile up, John.
Jett has a girlfriend, and he goes off to see her in Bowling Green. Jett is important because it will be Jett who gives them the direction to Garrett's farm, correct? What do we make of the fact that Jett gives up Garrett's farm so easily?
If what's so fascinating is Jett goes off to visit his girlfriend and then hangs out at this kind of seedy bar. Had he not done that, there's a real possibility that Booth may have continued to make his way further south and not be discovered.
He's hiding in Garrett's barn. Is Garrett part of this the rat line?
No, they're just innocent civilians that Jett and some of the other men just happen to know.
Now we've got,
but they're very much, they're sympathetic to the Southern cause.
There's so many names we don't have a whole lot of time for, but there are Secret Service operatives all along this rat line. Thomas Hardin's name comes up. Conrad's name comes up again and again. They were all well known to the area, but were they well known to Mosby's men? Would they have known operating in out of place?
What's so fascinating is that Conrad is mentioned early in the kidnapping plot. He's one of the first men that actually conducts a reconnaissance mission outside of the White House in early 1863. And it's Conrad that runs a spy group down on the Northern Neck within Mosby's command.
So there are characters they recognize. We don't have a lot of ID in 1865. You better be able to present yourself as somebody we know before. Otherwise, these are desperate men. To their knowledge, the war is over, and they've been warned to surrender, but they haven't. And that will go on for some time. The frame of this is important. The war has lasted for 4 years. There's grief in all directions. There's fear. There's resentment. There's revenge. These are young men whom they've seen their companions die of wounds that would easily be recoverable today, but they do not have our medicine or our attention. They're all out there every day. Patrick's book is filled with men who give up their lives for the cause, whether it's the Confederacy or the Union, back and forth all the time. We're not talking about something that's easily recognizable here in the 21st century, which is why Booth's murder of the president is so striking. Everybody knows by now, right, Patrick? Everybody knows that Booth is on the run and he's being pursued by a version of the Union Secret Service, a cavalry contingent led by an officer named Baker. And they've been following, but they're detectives in the field as well, so-called detectives. And those are two men who pick up on Jet, right? It's just they happen to be there in this bar and Jet starts talking, or they talk to Jet. How is it that they
recognize? Basically, it's just by happenstance that the detectives run into Jet to some degree, and then they immediately interrogate Jet. They suspect that he knows something, and he coughs up the information and leads them to where Booth is hiding.
The barn, and the scene at the barn, they set it on fire. Booth means to die inside.
They are ordered to not kill Booth. And this is another interesting twist to the story. A guy by the name of Boston Corbett, who had only earlier had been hunting Mosby, he was captured. He was in Andersonville, then released. And then now he's back, you know, in service with this cavalry group that he's part of. And against orders, he sees Booth in the barn through a crack, aims, fires, and the bullet hits his spine.
Booth's got a diary. Where is it?
It's on his person. This is a fascinating aspect of this entire story. Within the diary itself is many pages of over 50 or 60 pages, but many of the pages are ripped out after Booth is captured by someone. And the diary inside of it explains how Booth was at Montreal. The focus was to kidnap the president. And with the Confederate Secret Service, all the links are there. But what's fascinating is the diary is not introduced in the trial.
Let's get to the trial. Patrick K. O'Donnell, The Unvanquished, The Untold Story of Lincoln's Special Forces, The Manhunt for Mosby's Rangers, and The Shadow War That Forged America's Special Operations. A lot of smoke. We're going to the trial for Is There Clarity Anywhere?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it. And they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.